This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Aloha to all our Hawaiian listeners, and of course, hello and welcome to everyone else tuning in to Nijan Footy from across the Pacific, the number one place that highlights our Pacifica talent in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. And joining me, as always, is my Cook Island Kiwi, Tinidao Arona T. How was the weekend, mate?
It was good, mate. Kia rana, Sammy. Kia rana to everyone listening. Mate, what a week we have. It is New South Wales versus Queensland, Game 3, the decider that's held in Brisbane this Wednesday night. Geez, I'm looking forward to this one. We still have that bet with Jacob on Nija Daily, so if...
I didn't make no bet.
Sorry, I still bet. Yeah. So if I'm hoping the Blues win, otherwise I'll be turning up to work here in studio.
You've made this bet with a few people, actually. So, yeah, okay.
Might as well hit one, hit all.
Yeah.
And later in the show, we're going to cover a few of the try celebrations that I noticed over the weekend in the NRL. You're going to cover the rugby, the international game. Unfortunately, we do not have Shelley today, but we do have someone who is looking to make her NRLW debut, just like Shelley did last year, and her name is Natasha Penatani.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that chat. Before we get to there, is there another public holiday in Queensland, is it? Is that why Shelley's not here?
Good question.
Yeah, we'll
Shelley,
find out.
If you're listening, come up with a good excuse.
Come up
next
with something.
Week,
but yes, we do have Natasha Penatani, the sister of Tiana Penatani, that plays for the Sharks and played Origin as well. But really looking forward to this chat. She has played for Tonga twice and she is embarking on her first NRLW campaign. So it'll be interesting to get her insights.
For the West Tigers as well.
For the West Tigers, yep. Yes.
Played a trial, so against the Broncos on the weekend. So we'll see how that game went as well. Let's get on with the show. Let's go.
Moment of the week.
Something catch your eye over the weekend, Sammy.
Mate, it actually did. I was watching the Samoa-Spain game. We'll go into a bit of detail through the rugby chat, but had to stop the game for a little bit because Stray Dog ran on the field. So he's just, mate, it was crack up. So you just see, I think it was Spain on halfway, just about to kick off. This Stray Dog runs out there, and then you've got the water boys with their shirts and like wrapping it around their head and trying to get this dog off the field so it can kick start. But the MC was able to get the crowd involved and they were doing their cheer hoos and stuff like that to make some noise to get the dog off. But it just reminded me of when Fiji Drua played in that horrible, like there's that horrible conditions against the Western Force and there was frogs on the field jumping around, but only in the islands.
Only in the islands.
Only in the islands. So that was my moment, T.
The dog running onto the field. Was this before the kickoff of the game?
No, this was during the game.
During the game.
So I can't remember if it was after a try score from Samoa, and then, but I just know that Spain were on the halfway ready to kick off, but they couldn't kick off because of the stray dog.
Stray dog. So it wasn't anyone's dog in particular. It was just...
Hey, if you've been to, everyone that's been to the islands, like there's stray dogs everywhere. They're scary too, man. They chase you down sometimes. Don't go for a run.
It actually reminds me of my Samoan friend who plays in over in England, Paulie. He used to play for Parramatta Eels as
well. Yes, yeah. Big front row.
Big second row.
Oh, second row.
And he posted on his Instagram a couple of weeks ago. He goes, one of my highlights this year will be, and it was a video of him grabbing the kids off the field as they were about to kick off. His kids are ran on the field. So him and his wife had grabbed the kids, took them over the
field. I'd rather the kids than a stray dog, that's for sure. But hey, that was our moment of the week, T.
Talo Falava, my name is Pipisana Patufilo, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yes, Sammy, so we're going to crack into the footy results and news. And in the NRL, I thought I'd try something different. I thought, being Try July.
Where's the drum thing?
We had a number of Nijan try scorers over the weekend. So what we're going to do today, I picked a few players who scored some amazing tries, but they also entertained the crowd with a try celebration. So let's kick it off. First one is Samoan Ronaldo Mulitalo, who scored three tries for the Cronulla Sharks, 58-6 over the West Tigers. His third try, though, was off a kick return. He went 90 metres with Braden Trindle before he scores, and then he breaks out the shaker leg.
It goes straight down the ground to Kennedy. He fields it 9 out from his own line. He comes to the left away to Ronaldo Mulitalo with the pass. He takes him on and gets straight past one Bateman. Over the 30, too quick for lob. Getting the ball a 40 out. Turns the ball to his right to a juggling Trindle. Trindle turns it back with a one-hander away to Ronaldo Mulitalo. He gets past lob again. And Ronaldo does a bit of a fancy jig, clicking the knees together. He has 3. Sharks running away with it.
What did Maury say?
Clicking
the knees together. I haven't heard that one before. But a bit of motivation behind Mulitalo's tries. I heard his interview. Apparently the West Tigers crowd were giving him a lot of stick in the corner. And he just said, I needed to score some tries to shut the crowd up.
Well, on his second try, he done the Hulk Hogan.
Oh, you know, is that
put
yeah.
the hand to the air going, what we say now, what we say now.
Yes.
That's right. Quick shout out to Kale Ito as well, the left Cook Islander centre. He scored the first try in this game and he gets up and does the Cook Island Ura, which is, yes, shake the knees together as well. My second player is Christian Tuipulotu. The Tongan international scored 3 tries for the St. George Illawarra Dragons. The Dragons beat the Broncos in a tight match, 30-26. After all 3 of his tries, Tuipulotu, you know, he got up, he gave some energy to the crowd, he's pointing, he's pumping his chest. But I'm going with his Tongan centre, Moses Sully, his celebration. So he scores a try, he gets up, looks at the crowd, about to kick the ball into the crowd. Just as he kicks the ball, Christian jumps in front of him and cops the boot right up his bum.
Tackled 11 metres out, Dragons on the attack once more, 6 all the scoreline, Little to the left, Eisenhuff, men in motion, Flanagan, puts Sully through a hole, that is flimsy defence from Jordan Ricky. Sully runs straight by the number 12 for Brisbane and in for the second try for the Dragons, Moses Sully, good run. Oh, but you'd expect more from the edge defence there from the Broncos.
Was that on purpose he kicked him in the bum? Or like try celebration, so or he actually got in the way?
He got in the way. Christian had been pumping up the crowd after every try, and then as Moses scores, Christian jumps in front of him, goes to the crowd, and then he just cops the boot up the bum.
Big size 13, straight up the date.
After another one of his tries as well, he gets up, the boys pick him up, and he's screaming, mouth wide open, and Luciano puts his fingers in his mouth. Like, it just looks like they were having fun, man. It was... good to see the boys.
Good to see the Dragons having some fun at this time of the year.
My last one is 19-year-old Lehi Hopoate. Yes, he comes from a strong rugby league family, but this kid is already making a name for himself. In only his 6th NRL match, Lehi made the most metres in this game with 241 metres. He also made the most runs, most post-contact metres, and most tackle breaks. Sammy, that's not all. He had a silky try assist and scored 2 tries as well.
18 minutes gone in this second half. Dummy half Simpkin goes to the left to Brooks, out the back to Humphreys, then links up with Trebojevic, gets it away to Lehi Hopoate, and he's over to score the try.
Yeah, that try assist was outstanding from Hopoate when he passed it back on the inside to Jackson Paulo, I think it was.
Don't think it was.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
From the kick across field, and he passed it back on the inside.
Don't think Jackson Paulo was the center.
Who did he pass it back into then?
Good question.
I'm sure of it.
Don't think so. But anyway.
Anyway, well, let's move on.
It was the Sea Eagles smashed the Knights in this game, 44-6. The Eagles are now sitting at 7th on the ladder. Lehi Hopoate, we got his brother jumping on the show. I'll be away doing some work with the RLPA, so Will's going to step in.
It'll be interesting. So you're the one that's going away for work this time around. So
All in Sydney.
Get over to the Pacific, mate. It's good for you.
And just finally, a quick shout out to the Gold Coast Titans, Philip Sami, who scored and done the Gutherino against Parramatta Eels. All in love.
And Isaac's younger brother knocks on as he runs it to the defensive line. Fafita picks it up. They're only 18 metres out. Now the Tigers. He beats one, beats two. Gets the pass away to Fafita. Away now for Sami. Sami steps back inside of Talangi. Then he punts away and scores. Dejan Arce was a speed bump. Philip Sami's beaten 4 men there, Clinton. That was not tackling by the Parramatta Eels. They're witches' hats out there. It's 16 points to nil.
And remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. NRLW trials were over the weekend semi. The Roosters drew with the Sharks 20-all. Tiana Pinatani went over for a try as well. There were a few injuries in this game. I know for the Roosters, they lost a couple players. Corbin Baxter, the fullback, injured a knee with a concussion and a broken arm, I think, as well in that Roosters team. The Cowboys, they won over the Titans 28-12. Fui Maono also scored a try for the Titans, but it's good to see Shelley's team and her readiness season get off to a good start. I'm sure that they, they'll build some good confidence leading into the NRLW season. The Eels, they beat the Dragons 20-8. Elsie Albert scored a nice try as well. And the Broncos beating the Tigers 28-16. Our girl, Sala Tongatuki, scored a try. And we will catch up with Tasha Penitani to speak more about that match.
How well across are you over the NRLW this season? Like, do you have a lot of information? Do you know what's happening?
What do you mean?
I'm just asking, is this more of a tease for our Asian knowledge? I just want to know if you're well across our NRLW stuff.
Depends what kind of questions they're going to be.
Yeah, we'll soon find out at the end.
Well, in the New South Wales Jersey flag, the Cavite Silk Tails were beaten by the Dragons 28-8 at Churchill Park in Lautoka. And in the Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters, they beat the Central Queensland Capras in Port Moresby 42-28. They are now seventh on the ladder with a bye next weekend. Plenty of rugby league and even more to come this Wednesday night when the New South Wales Blues will take on the Queensland Maroons.
What do you reckon? What's the scoreline prediction before we go to Rugby Union for Origin?
I'm going to say it's going to be New South Wales by 10.
Love it. There we go. By 10. Looking forward to seeing who comes out on top for that. Game 3, the decider up in Brisbane. Let's go now to Rugby Union T. Another big weekend of test footy. And if you missed our Friday show, Wallaby legend Tote Kefu had a strong proposal for our listeners that you could, or that you had the opportunity to lock yourself in your house, stay in your pajamas, and pretty much watch test rugby from early Saturday afternoon to 5 a.m. in the morning, T. So did you do that?
Absolutely not.
You'd rather watch paint dry, wouldn't you,
in terms
of rugby? No, it was great test footy, and we're going to get straight into the first one with Tonga versus Italy. This game was played in Tonga at Del Fava Stadium. This is Tonga's first test match of the year, and Italy coming off a loss to Samoa the week before. Tonga went down 36-14, and I think, you know, with that scoreline, probably suggests it was all one-way traffic for Italy. But this is not me being biased, T. I thought Tonga showed some positive moments in that game, a bit of maturity to the way they played. Normally in the past, I reckon I've seen Tonga always try and out-muscle their opponents, you know, just with their size and try and pick and go and just put one out running, run over the top, do their best. But this time around, I just saw them build some nice phase attack. I saw them play smart on turnover attack, and I just saw them holding their feet, trying to get the ball to width, you know, staying square and doing those little basics well, the fundamentals really well. And we saw that in the 75th minute with their try from Fethullah Baya. He was outstanding in the centres, playing in the 13 alongside Malachi Fekitoa. He was rock solid in the midfield, but on turnover attack, they went through and he was just able to hold his feet, get the pass away, reload, get back to the next phase, work hard off the ball, receive the ball again and go straight through and score a beautiful try to finish off the game. And even their contestables, they're 50-50. Like, I know you're not well across rugby, but in the kicking battle, normally I wouldn't see the back three for Tonga like really going well at those 50-50 catches. But they were defusing those bombs really well and everyone was working hard to get into space. So I thought there was a lot of maturity to Tonga's performance, and there's probably good signs ahead for them leading into the Pacific Nations Cup on that. T, so far.
Great work, mate.
Great work. Give me something. Give me something.
So, I'm trying to picture it in my mind, mate. The whole time I'm just thinking, I wonder if Totai Kefu is happy with their performance.
And, yeah, you know what? You know, when I was watching it and writing my thoughts on it, I was like, am I having a dig at Kef's game plan from the last 8 years, saying that they're probably a bit better than last year?
You're saying that they're mature. They lost 36-14, but they looked very mature. And then I'm like, is this a stab to my upbringing?
Yeah, I don't know that. So do you reckon he listens to the show?
Absolutely. Probably not.
So I'm safe as houses, I reckon. But let's move over to the Samoa game against Spain. It was a tight game. Oh, we had a little, what do you call it? Our tipping contest.
Knockout tipping comp. You got the Spain with the 10.5 point start.
Yes, and that's exactly what happened. I knew it was going to be a tight game. It was 34-30 to Samoa. And, you know, going into when we previewed the game, I knew it was going to be tight, but I thought they may have struggled with the favoritism tag. But they backed up their performance from last week, Samoa. I was impressed. It was pouring with rain. Massive puddles all over the field, but their ball movement in those conditions was first class. Like, they were still able to score four tries, long range tries with, you know, nice little flick passes. And then we saw a beautiful try from Duncan Payoa, former Wallaby, played up at the Reds, but now plays overseas. He's a fullback for Samoa. His work rate off the ball to be able to get back in play after a really nice kick from D'Angelo. Ball goes out, quick line out for him and Nigel Arwong. Just nice little short side play, put it on the toe for Duncan Payoa to pick up in such tough conditions and score a nice little try in the corner to really get Samoa back in the lead, out in front. But again, I was just impressed with all the little things they did well, Samoa. They were contesting that line out time. They were putting nice kicks in at the right time. They were just doing all the little things well. And I thought, you know, to go back-to-back wins in Samoa, even with a stray dog on the field, I thought it was impressive and something that they're going to build on leading into this Pacific Nations Cup, the championship. They could actually push Fiji. Even if Fiji is probably the favourites, I think they're going to push them, and I think it'll be a nice surprise.
Here's a test for your memory. So where do they go now on the ladder?
Oh, in the world rankings?
World rankings.
They will now move to 12th. Yeah. Is it 12?
You mentioned it last Friday.
Yeah, you know my memory. It's a goldfish. But we'll move over to the Wallabies and Wales game. Wallabies back-to-back wins. Our Indonesian stars really stood up again in this one. The big three. Rob Valentini in the back row. He was bending the line for Wales. Always bending the line with his carries, especially off line out when they went to that short one. He was just cutting back at the seam. In behind the lineup, there's a little hole there. It was just going at that seam.
Did he also put a big shot on in this game as well?
Big shot off the kickoff,
yeah.
Turned the game. Didn't get his arms around. Lucky, I thought they were going to blow it up for a penalty. But yeah, just a solid contact. The bloke was down for a little bit after. It was just heavy, not like some of the big league ones that we've seen, but you could just tell it hurt the Welsh player. Turned the game too, because it was a bit back and forth, and that shot really helped the Wallabies, you know, just gain that momentum again. And I said, I thought Hunter Paisami was solid again in the midfield. When he tackles people, he just doesn't just tackle. Like, he puts his shoulder straight through, he'll throw you to the ground, he does his double efforts, gets up on his feet to peel for the ball. And we've also got Filippo Dangun, who scored a double. Like, his work rate, you know, we talk about effort areas, T. Like, he scored this try where the ball, when it went out, the Welsh player not like tried to get a quick throw in. He was the only chaser to come through. And with that stray pass, he picks up the ball and goes and scores. Like, you know, for those moments, I think that's what the pleasing thing about the Wallabies' performance at the moment. Nothing flash, nothing over the top. It's just the players doing their job and having those effort areas to be able to work hard for their teammates. And they're going to need that. They're going to need that when they come up against the heavyweights of New Zealand and South Africa. And finally, I think the bench that came on made a big difference. Saw Lungi Gleeson getting up at line-out time, putting pressure on the Welsh at the front of the line-out. We saw Isaac Galea putting on some heavy shots and Alan Alatoa scoring a try as well. So there's plenty of positive signs for the Wallabies as they lead into the next test. And T, you know how I like having my ear close to the ground for some goss.
What do you got for us, mate?
Bit of goss here. I'm going to save it for Friday, but some signing news, or do you want to hear it now?
Are you going to get in trouble if you tell us now?
I don't know if I'll get in trouble. Have I got in trouble in the past?
You probably have, but we just haven't heard
about it. Yeah, sweet as. But, well, how about this?
Just give us the club, if there is a club involved, and then culture.
Oh, okay.
Of the players well, involved.
The Rebels are gone, yeah?
Yep.
So two big names from the Rebels, most likely going to head to the Waratahs.
Ooh.
Most likely being almost a done deal. And his nickname rhymes with Boar. The Tongan Boar. No, jokes.
There you have it.
There you have it. So that's there's rugby union from that front with the international game. But we also saw in the under-20s, Fiji lost to Georgia 40-36 in the ninth place playoff. And the World Rugby under-20s trophy, Samoa 39 defeated Hong Kong 19. And they get a win in that tournament and they'll play the Netherlands this week in a fifth place playoff. Didn't even know the Netherlands played rugby. But there you have it. That's rugby union, T.
Awesome stuff, mate. Well, let's get straight to our guest of the show, Natasha Penatani.
Pacific Break is back.
The 2024 competition is now open and it's going to be bigger and better than ever before.
We're on the hunt to find the Pacific's next big music act.
If that sounds like you, then send us your original track and you could win an all-expenses-paid trip to perform at WOM Adelaide, Australia's biggest international music festival.
Visit abc.net.au/Pacific Break to find out how to enter.
Entries close on Sunday, August 25th, so get your tracks in now.
This is Nijin Footy.
Well, Sammy, we have a very special guest with us today. She is an international rugby league player, made her debut for the Tongan Women's League team in 2022. She has signed with the West Tigers NRLW team, and she is also sister to your co-host on That Pacific Sports Show, Tiana Penatani. We have her sister, Natasha Penatani. Tash, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys. I'm very excited.
So straight off the weekend, you had your debut against the Broncos. How'd the body pull up? How'd you go?
Good. Feeling good. Like, obviously a little bit sore. It was a bit tricky this game. A couple of us were feeling a bit sick in the lead up to it. Had a bit of a head cold, but can't complain. It was really, really nice to play up in Brizzy. It was nice and warm, good conditions. Got the chance to play at Suncorp with the girls. So really good.
We mentioned it's your first season in the NRLW with the West Tigers. Did you get a taste of like the speed in that trial game and the contact? Was it different to what you've played before?
It was definitely, the pace of the game was a lot quicker than I'd experienced previously. Not too dissimilar to the test matches that I'd played over the past couple of years, but the quality was a lot better. It was actually really nice to play with some of the big names in the game, and just the quality of footy was amazing. The pace was quite fast, but it was a great experience, a lot of fun.
We have Sala Tongatuki every Friday on Nijin Footy Fridays, and I'm sure she'll tell us about her try and how she ran over 80 metres to score it. Can you explain that try to us?
Oh, she's such a special player. She honestly is just so incredible. She's one of those people who will absolutely leave it all on the field, Salah. It was incredible to be able to, this whole preseason, not only train alongside her, but to get a bit of a taste of what it's like to play around her during the test match over the weekend. She's incredible. A lot of respect for Salah.
What's her pregame chats like in terms of the pumping up the girls? Because I've heard some whispers that it gets pretty loose, intense, and people just like, okay, sweet, let's just get out there and rip in. But did you get to experience that on the weekend?
100%. You know what? From a game to training, it's like it's all very similar. She's full of energy, full of motivation. She's just one of the most positive humans. So it really just felt not too dissimilar to what it would be like at training right before we have a big contact session. She's hyping us all up. It was the same at the game. She's getting around us all. We're all buzzing, ready to go out there. So, yeah, very special. A lot of energy.
I'm looking forward to how you girls perform this NRLW season. She speaks highly about how you're prepared and the squad that you do have and the culture you're starting to create.
She said they were going to win it. Is that right? She said they were going to win the NRLW final.
That's what she 100%.
Told me. Yes,
yeah, yep, we got it out of it.
Yeah, that's true. We are.
Well, speaking of your journey, let's go straight to your upbringing. What was, you know, where did you grow up? What was your upbringing like?
So we grew up in the East Sydney, so Matchville, Maroubra area. We had a great upbringing. We're all four of us kids. So Tiana being the eldest, I'm the second eldest, younger brother Noah, little sister Renee. We all grew up quite close together, had a great upbringing. And then it was actually around 2013, 2014, my two younger siblings and I moved to Queensland, where I finished high school. Tiana was playing for Australia at the time, rugby sevens, so she had to stay behind while she was playing. And then I graduated up there and, yeah, finished school, had a really nice Queensland upbringing for the second half of high school. So that was good.
So just quickly, does that mean...
Yeah, technically, are you...
With Origin coming up, are you Queensland supporter or New South Wales?
No, I'm a New South Wales supporter. I'm not too sure how it works with...
eligibility.
You know, born and raised Sydney. I'm a New South Wales supporter, in short.
Okay, so just hypothetical, if you did get Origin selection, who are you playing for?
I'd say New South Wales. I played junior footy down here, grew up here, only lived in Queensland for a few years, so I won't jump the fence there. New South Wales
through. No, that's a good answer. Would have been a good matchup, though.
Were yeah, 100%.
Growing up, were you... you know, close with your Tongan culture?
Yes and no. We definitely were a lot more connected when Dad was alive. And then unfortunately when he passed, Mum did her best to keep us connected, but naturally we didn't have a lot of involvement with our Tongan culture as much as we probably would have liked to. But Mum did her best to keep us connected and we stayed in touch with family and whatnot. But I think definitely more so in my older years, I'm finding that I'm spending a lot more time trying to reconnect with the culture. And I think footy has given me the best opportunity to do so in these past couple of years. So I'm really grateful for that.
I was just about to ask that, has footy been your vehicle to be able to connect with, considering that you've played for Tonga, but just also even the junior ranks, the amount of Tongan and Samoan and Polynesian Pacifica players that are in rugby league, has that helped you stay well connected and probably catching up with even cousins that you meet along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. 1,000%. I have to say that first test match that I played back in 2022, I think I went into camp with the mindset that I'm going to get the most out of this that I can footy-wise. I'm going to learn as much as I can. It's all about footy, 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 footy. And then when I got there, I realized, I was like, this is so special. Like, our people care a lot more about culture, connection, and the things that really matter more so than footy. Footy kind of comes second to culture and connection and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So after that experience, I definitely, it put things into perspective. And I came home from that camp and I said to T, we need to do a lot more to connect with our culture. We've got all of these people around us, people you meet along the way in footy teams and that kind of thing that can really connect you to the things that matter in culture.
Yeah, we have a lot of players that come on our show and say that their international games or when they represent their cultures, it just hits different when they go into camp. What are some examples or some things that you learned that brought you closer to your Tongan culture?
I think the biggest thing for me was when we got into camp the first year, so 2022 and more so 2023, when I had Tiana by my side, we got to camp, and then we sat down and got our itinerary for the week. And a lot of it was, all right, in the mornings, you go have breakfast, you do your prep, but we say prayer, we sing a hymn, in the morning, and then we start our day and we train. And then we had people, we had a lot of elders come in and talk to us in the morning. And it was just, the prep was so much more different because the focus was put onto connection and culture and remembering our roots and where we come from before we go out there and have the pleasure of playing footy. That's secondary. So even the food, the people that we met along the way, learning all of the hymns, doing prayer in the mornings, it just, all of that kind of tied in and just made it the best experience culture-wise. And then footy became a lot more special when you have, when you're so much more connected to the people around you, and having the reason that you're doing it being for the culture and everyone, all your families and stuff that have put in to get you where you are.
What about just having that experience and sharing it with 18 or 19 other Tongan females? You know, what does that do for, I guess, your soul, your happiness, and knowing that there's girls just look exactly like you in and amongst that that circle and involved in that camp?
It was so special, and especially playing with girls who had come from New Zealand. So there were obviously us girls who had come from Australia, but we also played alongside these females who had been born and raised in New Zealand and were really, really connected to the culture. And just being around those girls and listening to their stories. And there were a couple of girls that shared their stories about the adversity that they faced being a female Tongan rugby league player in New Zealand, and overcoming those adversities to get to the same place that we were all at together. And there was just so much respect amongst the playing group for each individual's journeys. And it was just really cool having all of those Tongan girls around each other. And it was just, yeah, a really, really special, special experience.
Was there one moment during camp? I know a lot of the players, they speak about when it's during their national anthem or when they do their haka or their siva. Was there one moment that hit you where just that sense of pride and connection and representing your ancestors, was there that one moment for you?
There was that one moment when we sang our himi before we played. It was just so special. The crowd joined in. The crowd was singing. We had our boys behind us who had played their game just before us, our A-grade boys. They stood behind us, and it was a feeling that you can't describe. It just was so special. It was just a really kind of like a pinch me moment right before going out there to play, of feeling really connected and just hearing the crowd singing. It was really special. That had to be my one moment that I was like, this is surreal. It's incredible.
When I knew you were coming on the show, I went back and watched that game again, that test match, and that was the thing that stood out for me. I just got goosebumps just watching your sister with the flag over her shoulders walking out, and then, as you said, yeah, the boys there singing behind you with the guitar, and just I could see it all on your girls' faces, just how passionate and what it meant for you girls to be there. So it was, for me, being Tongan like that, I was proud to say, oh, that's our girls representing our people and our family as well. So I absolutely love that. Speaking of your sister in that experience, when you came back from the first time you played for Tonga, were you like the Jason Thamalolo and the Andrew Fifita just saying, hey, you need to come play for Tonga? Like, we need you?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, during the camp, I'm messaging Tiana like, I wish you were here. This is so special. This is incredible. And then when I got home, I'm in her ear like, you need to experience this, Tiana. Like, our people are just so special. Like, this is something that I think you really need to experience in this lifetime. I think you'll get a lot out of it. And she didn't say no. She wasn't even hesitant. She was like, oh, I'm really happy that you got to experience that. I hope one day that I can experience it too, and hopefully with you. So yeah, I definitely was in her ear though.
And then the very next year, you get to play alongside each other. What was that experience like?
It was amazing. It was honestly has to be today the most special footy experience that I've had. Just going into finding out first and foremost that Tiana was seriously considering playing for Tonga, and then I was just so happy for her and just so proud. And then a few weeks after that, finding out that I'd made the squad again and that we were both going to travel over to New Zealand and play. It was just, I think the months in the lead up to it was just so exciting, and just knowing that this was going to be one of the best experiences for the both of us was really special.
When you went over to New Zealand, she did decide to play, and I'm sure your old man would have been very proud of that moment looking down. But like, did you have any other family there, you know, to be able to greet you and help present your jerseys or anything like that?
We did, actually. We had Dad's family over in New Zealand who, even in 2022, there wasn't a lot of notice that we got when we had found out that we'd made the squad. So with that little notice, the news kind of travelled quite fast within the family. So our family here in Sydney contacted them, and they were kind enough to come and attend the jersey presentation and bring a bunch of snacks, and they made banners and everything. So when they heard that Tiana was actually playing as well in last year's test match, they went above and beyond and they came to our jersey presentation again. They made banners again. They made all of our traditional clothes to wear to the game. They were just so proud. And it was really nice to have family over there to welcome us and to watch us play. It was really, really nice, really special.
Speaking of family, do you know, much about the Panattiani family and, which village you're from and the journey it was where the Panattiani family moved from Tonga to New Zealand, Australia?
I don't know a lot about the journey. I do know that we're from Holapeka and Tanea. That's where the little areas that our family are actually from. And it's funny, it was in camp that they sat us down and taught us a little bit about each village that we were from and the history. And we found that a lot of the girls were connected in so many ways of, oh, hey, like my family's from that village as well. And it was really special to see how connected our people really are because of how small our island is. But yeah, I definitely would like to learn a lot more about our family's personal experience moving from Tonga to New Zealand, then over to Australia. So yeah, definitely something I want to look into.
In camp, when you were sitting down and everyone's going through their villages and connecting the dots, were you related to anyone? Did that come out?
No.
Surely, nothing.
I don't know. I think we all came to the realization that, well, we're all probably cousins actually now that we think about it, we're all probably related. But I don't think we made the actual connection that any of us are directly blood related. Not to Tiana and I personally, but I know a couple of the girls within the group had already known that they were related one way or another before camp. Yeah.
Well, this leads me to a question that I've always wanted to ask yourself or your sister about your partners. Now,
yes.
Is it true that you're dating your sister's husband's brother?
Yes, it is true. Yes.
Now, how did this all happen? Yeah. Like, did you meet before Tiana and her husband, or did someone reach out, during the wedding, or?
Reach out during the wedding. Saw him in the line. I was like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, he's the one. It's so funny you ask. I don't think anyone's actually ever asked this, like how it kind of happened. But Tiana and Aaron actually have been together for about 10 years now, so a really long time. But it was a few years into their relationship that we had a big family Christmas. So both families came together and we spent Christmas in Newcastle. And then, I don't know, Brock and I just got chatting up there and then became friends and then went to dinner like a few weeks later, and then I guess the rest is history.
So it was love at first sight.
Love at first sight, pretty much, yeah.
And then the conversation with Tiana after is like, I think I'm actually, I fancy your brother-in-law. Is that right? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Pretty much. There was actually initially no conversation. It was kind of just like, oh, I'm going out to dinner with someone. And she's like, Brock. And I was like, oh.
Okay. And this leads me to my next question on this. Yep. Round 9, Sharks versus Tigers at Shark Park.
Yes.
Their potential matchup with your sister, if all the stars align. Does it split the family here? Like, is it you versus them? Like, if it's Aaron and Brock versus each other, is that how it's working?
I asked Mum this. I said to Mum, so round 9, in theory, what's going to happen if it's Tiana and I up against each other? And she said, look, because it's your first year of NRLW, she said, you've got my support. I'm rooting for both. She said, but I'll be leaning more towards the Tigers. I said, good choice, Mum, because we're going to win. So
there it is. Oh, did she say the same thing to Tiana? Like, just since 100%. You're the eldest one, I'm going to go for the Shark. Is that how she operates?
Upon reflection, I think she might have had the same conversation with Tiana, but it doesn't matter. We're going to win.
Speaking of the NRLW season, what are you looking forward to in your with your first upcoming season?
I'm most looking forward to just really ripping in, to be honest, and learning a lot about myself, I think, confidence-wise, off the back of this preseason. I think it's been, in preseason alone, I've learnt so much just with skill, not only skill, but mentally of how much I'm actually capable of. And this season, I'm just really looking forward to getting the opportunity to play with some of the biggest names in footy. Salah, as we spoke about before, Kezzy Apps, some of just the really experienced, incredible athletes that I've got around me at the Tigers. I'll be really looking forward to learning and playing alongside them.
And before this season, you're playing at a lower level. Was it always your goal to eventually be in the NRLW system?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I think the past couple of seasons was more so me just learning the game and trying to get as much experience as I could so that I could eventually one day play at the level of NRLW. And I went from Harvey Norman with the Sharks, played a bit of local footy at the end of last year, got the opportunity to represent Tonga again. And then after that game, I really set a goal for myself that if it didn't happen this year, I was going to make sure that it did happen the following year. And I was lucky enough to be picked up for this season by the Tigers.
Oh, good. During that journey, was there anyone that helped you develop on your own game and you as a rugby league player?
I have to say Tiana. She really, I speak to her about everything. I'm so fortunate to not only have her as a sister, but kind of as a mentor. Being one of the most incredible athletes in our game, it's just really fortunate that I've got her for advice and just to have her there with all of her experience to talk to her about not only footy things like skills and that kind of thing, just even as a mentor, talking to her about, you know, what do I do when I'm faced with this situation or I'm feeling a little bit nervous, like before my first day of preseason, I was like, I'm really nervous, T. I'm not too sure what to expect and how to overcome these things that I'm feeling. And having her there to talk me through it is, I'm really, really lucky, really fortunate to have her.
Yeah, I must say, your sister's actually had a big influence on myself, you know, jumping out of footy and into the media space, you know, being a co-host with her on That Pacific Sports Show. Oh man, if it wasn't for her patience, I don't know if I would have lasted in that chair. Like she's like amazing towards myself and helping me out. So I can definitely understand what you're saying. You know, watching her, you know, achieve what she did and you're there supporting her every step of the way. Was that a big motivation to want to chase that same feeling?
Most definitely. I think I say this all the time, but Tiana is one of the most incredible humans I've ever met. Just her drive and her ability to just overcome every single obstacle that she's ever had in her way. Just watching her pave her way through rugby sevens and now with rugby league, it was definitely, she was the driving force behind me wanting to play the sport and to hopefully one day follow in her steps and reach the level that she's reached. She absolutely is, yeah, an inspiration of mine.
Final question from me. Favourite Tongan food, I had to ask.
Oh, favourite Tongan food has to be lusipi. Lusipi for sure.
And that's the taro leaves, yeah? With the coconut. With the lamb.
Corn beef, coconut.
Yeah. Wait, actually, corn beef or lamb?
Lusipi's lamb. So
lusipi is lamb, yeah.
Remember we done that last
did
year?
I was just waiting for if you remember from last time with the games.
Yes,
Kapapulu is the corn beef.
Yes.
Lusipi. Oh, that's outstanding.
Mum makes them at Lusipi.
And for yourself, Tash, you know, NRLW, it's a 1 year deal. You know, what else is on the horizon for yourself around rugby league and then even beyond next year?
At this stage, I'm really, really knuckling down and focusing on just this season. Obviously, I'd love to extend beyond my contract at the moment, but I think the best place for me to start is to really take this on with both hands and give it everything, and hopefully I'll be able to represent Tonga again at the end of the year. But for now, I'm really focusing on my season with Tigers and getting the most out of this experience so that I can hopefully continue on with the team.
Oh, man, outstanding. Well, Tash, we really appreciate you coming on here and sharing some of your journey. I can't wait to see you play in the red again and hopefully get some victories in the red. It'll be unreal. But, yeah, well, I want to wish you all the best for your first NRLW experience. Hope you get a lot of game time and a lot of positive experience out of that. Much love from all of us here at Nijin Footy.
Up the Tigers.
Up the Tigers.
Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Game one.
What a win for Queensland.
Game two.
Where were the Queenslanders?
And now.
This series is heading to a decider.
Hear Origin 3 live from Brisbane's Lang Park with Andrew Moore and the ABC Sport Commentary Team.
He regathers and scores one of the great individual Origin tries.
The Decider. Hear all the action Wednesday night at 7 PNG time.
Here we go.
Take everything, leave them with nothing.
On ABC Radio Australia.
It's Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinida Arona.
Hey, how good. I love hearing when our athletes come on and speak about that connection to their culture and that time in camp when it just hits them, and then they get that sense of pride and, you know, that all those emotions just all, it's like your ancestors just all come into you and you just get all teary and it hits you hard.
Very hard to probably explain unless you've been in that moment, eh? Like, I know I didn't get to play test footy, but just that's, it's so special when you first come together as a team meeting, talk about your values, and it's like, wow, this is real.
So I cried every time we done the Cook Island anthem.
Yep.
I think I got to represent the Cook Islands, was it 12 times? And every single time, you know, you're standing there with your brothers.
It's beautiful.
You start doing the anthem, tears come down your face, and I thought about my grandparents straight away. So, it's touching. I love hearing the other our other athletes. So, Tash, thanks again. If you are listening, appreciate you for jumping on our show. But she did speak about State of Origin and New South Wales.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Up in Queensland, she was.
Well, we didn't even cover the Origin game that's happening in two days' time. So I thought we'd quickly touch on
it. We touched on it a little bit, but we didn't go into much detail. You're right. You're right.
So what stands out for you in this game, mate?
What stands out for me? Probably just the history. Like the history of the fact that New South Wales have only won twice up in Queensland for a decider.
Yeah.
Like, how do you address that as a coach and stuff in preparation? Do you mention it? Do you not mention it? Like, I always feel like history is a funny one when it comes to preparation because you don't want to be overawed by something that's, to be honest, it's not in your control. Like, that's not in your control. It's already done. So you're focusing on the now, but at the same time, it's already in the back of your mind.
The thing that stands out for me, though, is someone must be listening to Nation Footy because you said last year about Queensland's preparation and how they used to go into, like, connect with their communities.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to Bondi. They're not going to Coogee.
Coogee. That's where New South Wales would always go.
Watching New South Wales done this season or this series, they've gone up to the Blue Mountains in the heart of rugby league, Western Sydney. And
foot of the mountain. Oh, no, in the mountains. So not the foot.
I think it was all three camps they had up in the mountains. And then they also had a few local teams. So they had St. Mary's Saints, even Winnie Magpies last Game 2 series. They went up there and done a post session against the New South Wales Blues team.
Really?
To prepare for the State of Origin games that next week. Last week they had St. Mary's Saints go up there. Apparently they blasted the music so they couldn't hear each other, trying to copy the Queensland crowd. And, I've heard reports that, there was hand signals to get players on in St. Mary's. They were up there. They were confused. They didn't know how to handle the pressure and the noise. So I feel like they've prepared for a very, very big game three this week, this Wednesday.
Oh, I love that. I love that, you want to train exactly how you want to play and prepare for that game, and you simulate everything that you're going to encounter for game day, and they've provided that. So it's not new to you when you actually face it. So, when Japan played against South Africa, Eddie Jones made the halfback dye his hair blonde.
No, he did.
He did. He made the halfback for Japan dye his hair blonde to replicate Faf de Klerk from South Africa so they could just pick him out visually and see that training every single time. So
you can't just put a yellow bib on him and say,
nah, He made him dye his hair. But yeah, I love that.
That's to an extreme, but we'll see how we go. This week, I'm going for the Blues by 10 points. I mentioned it earlier. I think they get the job done. What did you say? They only won once in a
twice in Brisbane for a decider. So out of, I think, 12 games, there you go. So there's history against them, but yeah, we'll see how they go on Wednesday night.
All right,
Nation Knowledge.
All right, let's rip into Nisha Knowledge.
Jump the gun just a little bit early. Nisha Knowledge, let me get this up here.
Jump the gun there. Sammy, score is, you're on 10, I'm on 8.5. You'll be asking, well, actually, what
Hang
are you
on? 10, I'm on 10.
You're on 10, I'm on 8.5.
Oh, I'm in the lead for this one.
Yeah, you know that. You've been in the lead this whole season.
I'm close to this tattoo.
But I want to know, how are we going to run it when I'm away for work the next 5 Mondays?
Exactly the same way you and Toops do it.
This is going to be rigged. This, yes. If I come back and I'm like blowing out the park.
That's your fault for being away. That's the rules. You know, well, you can't dictate the terms when you're away because Toops had some shockers for me.
If you are new to Nisian footy, at the end of the show on Nisian Footy Mondays, we ask each other 3 questions, keep a score at the end of the season. The loser has to get a Nisian Footy tattoo on their bum.
All right.
Here Sammy already wants.
I just want it. I'm going to get it done anyway. So I don't care.
He's getting it done. Yeah. And I'm just trying
to. How much I love this show, how much it means to me.
Sammy, you're up.
All right. Here we go. First question. We had Natasha Panattoni on. Right. She did play 2 test matches for the Red. And I want to know, what number was she wearing in her last test match, the one that she played with her sister? Do you remember what her jersey number was?
Man, I wasn't looking that close.
Well, she came off the bench. There's a clue.
I thought she started. Nah. Would it be, I'm just going to go with, would it be 17 or would it be 16? 17 or 16?
A or B, which one is it?
Only because my debut number was 16, I'm going 16.
16, lock it in. She was 15. Number 15 in that game.
Great question, man. You must have thought pretty hard about
that.
Yeah,
I did. I just saw a run on. Oh, number 15, because I just assumed you might have thought she was a back. I don't know. That's why I asked you, well, how well are you, your knowledge around NRLW players and stuff like that. So anyway, we'll go to the next one. Which of our Pacifica brothers scored their very first test try for the Wallabies on the weekend? Was it A, Isaac Ailea, B, Hunter Paisami, or C, Alan Alaalatoa?
Did you say Hunter scored? What was the first one?
The first one was Isaac Ailea, the debutant last week, played in front of his family down in Melbourne, had a great game.
It was Hunter.
Was that Hunter?
It was Hunter.
His first try. You locking it in? Hunter. Sorry, it was Alan Alaalatoa. Scored his first try, 69 tests, and he's got his first one. None from two. None from two. How good are these questions, by the way? These are outstanding. All right. NRLW. Which two teams are the first game of round one on Thursday, 25th of July? A couple of weeks' time. Which two teams are going head-to-head?
I only know this because the two girls that are playing are part of the RLPA. One plays for Knights and one plays for the Roosters.
Ding, ding, ding. There it is. Perfect. You got 1 point, T.
Nah, mate. Do
that
better.
Was outstanding. Oh, better, come mate. On, mate. That
Research
was outstanding.
Bro.
That was.
On. Not just look at photos and, oh, yeah, this is what I'm going to add in my Nisian knowledge questions. Oh, yeah,
it's thinking outside the box. It's something different. You know, it's you preparing you for your guests. But anyway, that's our time up for today for Nisian footy. Remember, you can catch up on all our chats, including
Payne Haas.
Kayo Iro.
Valentine Holmes.
Oh, Yasmin Clydesdale. We've had a plethora of stars on our show. So make sure you go back and have a listen and listen to all your favourite Pacifica players wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.